WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In honor of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander Heritage Month, we've been bringing you conversations about Chicago's Asian American community. We've talked about the stories of South Asians coming to Illinois, Native Hawaiians landing in Chicago for the World's Fair, and today we're looking at the historic migration of Vietnamese people to this city. There was a great wave of refugees from Vietnam arriving in the United States after the end of the Vietnam War in 1975. This year marks 50 years since the fall of Saigon and the beginning of some Vietnamese stories coming to Chicago. And so our guests came in to share their stories with us. Van Huynh is executive director of the Vietnamese Association of Illinois. Tom Nguyen is an employment counselor at Chinese Mutual Aid Association. And Juan Lay is the first executive director of the Vietnamese Association of Illinois and former chief of the Illinois Bureau of Refugee and Immigrant Services. History first, so I turned to Van. 1975 wasn't the first time that some Vietnamese people were displaced from their homes. We could take this all the way back to 1954. Here's Van.
You know, 1954, there were a group of communists that were moving from the north to the south. There's a sort of ideological differences that are then happening in the country. You're also talking about the aftermath of French colonialism. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the people of Vietnam were trying to figure out, right, like how to self-govern, what is the type of government that they want to set up for themselves. And sort of because of these factions that broke out, a lot of folks who were from the north, such as my grandparents, for example, my grandma's from Hanoi, who then had to migrate to the south, because of these political differences. And so you have sort of a long history of Vietnamese people migrating to different parts. So I think multiple displacements. And then, you know, shortly after that, the war broke out between the North and the South, which then also led, to the mass migration of folks outside of Southeast Asia.
Oh, yeah. And part of that migration was Tom and Juan, right? The two of you were both born and raised in Vietnam back then. Tom, what do you remember about it?
I remember at the time I was living in Vietnam during the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And also I witnessed of the 30th April 1975, when the Saigon fell into the communism. At that time, we think even the North Vietnamese Viet Cong occupied Saigon. But I think because we are the Vietnamese, then no problem at all.
So you're talking about April 30th, 1975, the fall of Saigon.
The fall of Saigon. At that time, I in Saigon.
You were in Saigon.
Saigon, yes.
My goodness.
I witnessed the many tanks from the Viet Cong rolling in the Saigon.
The tanks?
And at that time, I very scared. Yeah. Because I am former officer, military officer. Therefore, we are scared about that.
Yeah.
Then we think, even the first time, we scared. But we still believe, you know, we are Vietnamese. They thought we had a reconciliation between the two Vietnamese. Therefore, I still stay. I don't escape from Vietnam.
You escaped.
But, yeah. Then about 1 month later, and they call all former Vietnamese military officers like me should go to the name, they call re-education camp.
re-education camps, yeah, forced labor camps.
Yeah,
right?
That look like labor, no food, working very hard, something, you know.
That, so you were called to join those camps. You were, can I say you were imprisoned in that camp?
Look like the prison.
Yeah.
Even they call the very beautiful work a re-education camp. But that's the real, this is the cell.
Mm. So they called it a re-education camp, but it really was more like a prison cell.
Sure.
Yeah. That sounds like a very different scenario. Juan, let's bring you in here. What are your memories of that time?
Right. I think it's good to talk about the 1954 when the country was divided and, you know, over a million Vietnamese from the north decided to move to the south after they experienced communism in the north. And I think that was the reason why my father was very determined when South Vietnam fell on April 30th, 1975, mm-hmm. that he wanted his children to grow up under communism. And they took the risk, you know, of helping us escape without knowing where we were going, whether anybody will provide asylum or not. And that was sort of the situation of the Vietnamese who left Vietnam in 1975.
Right. And just for added context, you were just starting college at that time, right? When Saigon fell?
Yes. I was born in the South after the country was divided. But when Saigon fell, I was just about to finish my first year in college.
Yeah. So then I come back to you. As I said earlier, this is a milestone. Mm-hmm. 50 years since what we're talking about right now, right? Since Tom's, what sounds like a terrible experience, mm-hmm. and rattling and all of the things. But why is this a good time to be marking 50 years, you think?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a significant marker for our community, right? Oftentimes I just think there's no clear sort of delineation between a previous community. And so 1975 marking a very stark difference and sort of the mass migration and resettlement of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people in the United States and to establish a whole community in Chicago as a result of it.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a really major milestone. I think to the story that Mr. Tham and Gong Wang have shared is that a lot of these stories are also getting lost in this moment. You know, when you go to Vietnam, you don't hear the story about the South Vietnamese government. You don't hear the story about, you know, South Vietnamese people. There is a narrative around reunification. And so I do think it's incredibly important for Vietnamese Americans here to tell their stories because it's such a different history from where you would get anywhere else.
Yeah, people from the north and south are looking back at that time and mm-hmm. it's like they see two different things.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for South Vietnamese people, there really isn't a place to sort of house all of that information. And so it's really the work of community members to continue telling their stories and to also have a place where young people like myself, you know, I was also born in Saigon, obviously 15 years after the war. But to be able to connect with my community and that history is also so incredibly important. Mm-hmm. And especially as people are aging and passing away, you know, they don't know about this history.
Yeah.
And I do worry.
How did
that
you learn about
lost.
It? Was your family forthcoming in teaching everything when you were growing up?
Yeah, I think, you know, bits and pieces of it. My uncle also escaped as a refugee. He arrived to the United States first, sponsored my grandmother, and then my grandmother sponsored the rest of the family.
Yeah.
But no, I think, you know, we heard bits and pieces. I think to Mr. Tham's story, my uncle was also sort of isolated from the family for a long time. They didn't know whether he was lost at sea. I've also had family members who tried to escape and then, you know, sadly died away. And so
I was trying to get a sense of just how eager folks were to even revisit this and talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when we started, you know, at the Vietnamese Association of Illinois talking about commemorating 50 years of really Vietnamese American community building, you know, was the sort of the theme that we wanted to drive people around. There was a lot of excitement from folks. You know, I think obviously it also brought up a lot of difficult feelings to bring people back to that time. You know, folks did share that it was very difficult to talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, to have really our seniors and elderly folks come forward to tell about their experience and to be able to capture their story was really important for our young people.
I bet. Tham, how did you end up here in Chicago?
The first time when I come to USA, I come in Chicago, California.
So you started out in California.
Yeah, then I lived about 5 months. Then after that, I moved to Chicago.
After 5 months, you moved to Chicago. Do you remember that transition? What did you think about Chicago?
The thing is, the first time when I moved to in Chicago, when I sitting on the bus, they by American people. Then the American were asking me, where you go? Then I say, I'm go to Chicago. It's scared. You know Chicago? You know what Chicago? Then I don't know. But the thing, I have my friend in Chicago. He asking me come to Chicago with him.
But people were trying to, what, were they trying to tell you don't go to Chicago? Were they trying to discourage you?
We told that they think that many gang, something like that.
Oh, know. That it was dangerous to come to Chicago.
Like that. But I said, because I, no choice. No choice for me.
You had no choice because you had a friend here.
Yeah, that's the reason why I did continue to go to Chicago to see my friend over there. And the things I come to Chicago, then at that time I very surprised because this country very big compared to Vietnam.
Yes.
Everything big. I my head religious. I don't think
it's overwhelming. Yeah. There's a big difference in being in the United States versus, you know, back home in Vietnam. What's your story, Juan? How did you end up here?
You know, in 1975, the only way you can leave the refugee camps is if there's a sponsor that's willing to be responsible to help guide your kind of initial steps in the United States. So Catholic Charities was the agency that sponsored my family, and they helped link us with a family in Bloomington, Illinois. And because of that, we were able to come to Central Illinois first. And from Central Illinois, then we moved to, I moved to Chicago. My family continued to live in Central Illinois and then eventually moved to California. So the opposite direction of them. So I think what's good to know about kind of a typical immigrant story, or in this case, a Vietnamese story, is number one, where you go was not necessarily your decision at first. You know, it depends on the sponsor agency.
Yes.
And then there's when people have their choice, whether them moving from California to Chicago or other move to other states, it tend to be to reunite with family members or to be with friends or for job opportunities. But over time, you know, people do come to places where there's a community, kind of like in Chicago, that's now Argyle, which is sort of a cultural, commercial community gathering point for the Vietnamese community in Illinois. So people feel comfortable, you know, being in a place where they can connect with people, they have Vietnamese food, and you'll have opportunities to organize cultural events.
Did you see, Tom, other Vietnamese people? Were there other Vietnamese people in Chicago when you came, other than the friend that you knew? Did you see more?
At the time when I come to Chicago, that time, very few Vietnamese in Chicago.
Very few, okay.
And the community very small. That just I met a friend, something like that. Then, but I remember one thing is in the Lunar New Year.
The Lunar New Year.
The Vietnamese New Year. Then the community organized a Lunar New Year, the third New Year in the from San High School. Then I come there, that many Vietnamese around, they come.
So once Lunar New Year celebrations happened, that's when you saw more people.
The first time when I come to this country, the first Vietnamese Lunar New Year, I celebrate in Chicago.
Yeah.
At that time, I met the many Vietnamese. Some are friends, some not friends, but we were very great thing together.
You got
I'm very happy about that. Then I know now, Chicago, many Vietnamese living here. Therefore, I can living here with them together.
Yeah, you saw your community for the first time. You felt a sense of community.
The first time,
Von, for the people listening, what lessons do you think that people who aren't Vietnamese, as well as the Vietnamese community, What can they take from these stories and these histories?
Yeah, I think what really stands out to me is around mutual aid and community support. Mm-hmm. You know, I think what Mr. Thumb has shared, where a lot of folks who are, you know, whether they're refugees or immigrants coming to a certain area, it's really hard to find that network of support, especially to be able to do it in language, right, where there's a cultural understanding, also understanding your history and your background. And I think the Vietnamese community has really illustrated that. You know, folks were able to find ways to connect with each other, whether it was through Lunar New Year celebrations. Even, you know, there were folks who organized pho parties, for example. They invited people who were Vietnamese that they did not know but knew that they were new to the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. To come to their houses to, you know, share a bowl of pho. Which was the way that folks connected with each other. That was, you know, a piece of familiarity.
Right.
So I think that the spirit of mutual aid, you know, I've heard so many stories from community members about the ways that they drove around the back alleys looking for furniture to help people resettle into their new apartments, mm-hmm. right? Because where else would they would find the resources to be able to purchase furniture, connect them to employment, right? I think the sort of a lot of people came into manufacturing, hospitality work, and that was through a network of people who introduced them, you know, to different employment opportunities. Yeah. But really, it was just the spirit of mutual aid and folks being able to see each other and
It took some time, but we built that community.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a few seconds left here, Juan. What do you want to add to that? What do you want folks listening to take away?
I think these days, you know, there's a lot of story about immigrants and how, you know, people think about immigrants and Vietnamese, like other immigrants have arrived here in the U.S., are people who have survived tremendous challenges. They risk their lives to arrive in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and they're driven to build a new life, to contribute to that new community.
Yeah, it's happening right now, Juan, right? We've got a current migrant crisis.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah. I think people believe in that potential and they believe in the new country that offer them opportunity to really rebuild their life from scratch. And they want to make their children's life better. They want to make their community better. And immigrants have that drive. You know, they have that energy and the motivation to do better for themselves and for their community.
So glad we got this chance to do this deeper dive into Vietnamese history here in Chicago with Juan Le, who's first executive director of the Vietnamese Association of Illinois, Tom Nguyen, who's an employment counselor at Chinese Mutual Aid Association, and Van Nguyen, who's executive director of the Vietnamese Association of Illinois. Thank you all so much. We could have talked for 30 minutes.
Yeah, thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Ari Mejia. Here on the show, we bring in Chicago community members to share all the diverse histories of our city. Hit subscribe to keep learning or visit wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again later today.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.